with the first pick.
Welcome back to another episode of the Daft Draft Podcast. It's been a couple weeks. I think we got a little gassed there at the end of the draft cycle. I put out my draft guide. Devin is traveling all over the place, so I think we got a little gassed, but we're back now to cover what went on last weekend. So three rounds, like it always is in Kansas City. Probably the most unpredictable draft that I've ever, at least in recent memory that I can remember, like. So there's a lot to get to, but before we do that, Devin and I are adding a third voice onto the podcast, Matt Valdovinos. Again, you can find him at NV Scouting on Twitter. Matt, welcome. Welcome. You're part of the Daft on Draft team.
Hello. Excited to be here. Obviously, love both you guys very, very much. I've been done kind of randomly the first time me and Corey ever got like real, real interaction together. We ended up on the same plane to the Senior Bowl. I forget where we flew out of, but yeah, to Mobile. And I remember him tweeting about like, oh, I'm running late to this plane. I'm going to have to book it. And then I saw him get on the plane and I was like, all right, you made it. We're cool.
I had to run. I think it was North Carolina.
I want to say it was Raleigh.
It might've been Raleigh. Yeah. But yeah, I was sprinting from gate to gate. My flight took off late from Columbus and then it got late to the other airport too.
And the Mobile airport, I remember being really, really small and we took an Uber back, but yeah, kind of full circle moment. Really excited to be here.
Yeah. And again, Devin, you were in Kansas City. You were there covering it. So just break down your experience. Talk about your experience. What was it like to interact with the players? I know you did like the community service stuff before the draft that the prospects get to take part in. And you got to be a part of all 3 days as well. So just talk about what it was like to be in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was cool. You obviously hear about Kansas City and their fan base and the barbecue. And I would say the barbecue did live up to the hype. It was some really good barbecue. I would definitely recommend. I don't know if it's better than Texas barbecue, but it's definitely up there. But yeah, I had a good time down there. All the top players were great. You know, I think Bijan is the best person in this draft in terms of just personality and character. Dude is just, I mean, he is about as good as a dude you could have. Mm-hmm. Anytime you ask him a question, he's asking it or answering it fully, giving you, you know, 3-4 sentence responses. And he just has that aura about him. And obviously we'll get to him in a little bit and where he ended up. But yeah, that was my biggest impression. Jalen Carr, to me, I think, you know, people kind of had this perception of who he is, but then you get to talk to him. He's just a really down to earth guy. Just wants to play football. He's not, you know, he's someone that he was telling me that, you know, he enjoys being around kids and getting to do the community service things and whatnot. And he just felt like a person. I felt like, you know, just kind of a victim of the circumstances and everything that went around. But when you actually get to talk to him, he seems like a really down to earth type person. So those are the two people that stood out most to me talking to them in general. But overall, draft was crazy. A lot of people there. And I was trying to get from the red carpet to the media room. You had to go through like 10,000 people just to get there. So it was 6:05 and I was like running to the media room so I could get in place in time for the draft to start at 7. But overall, it was a great experience. Definitely something to check off the bucket list of things I wanted to do. So it was great to be down there and get to see in person.
I love it. And so to break down the draft again, a wild draft, really unpredictable, especially the first round. Like I think the Lions threw everybody for a curveball. Yeah. And I love Jack Campbell. Like had him rated as the 14th best player in this class. But compared to consensus, compared to positional value, compared to you know, other people had Jack Campbell like linebacker 2, linebacker 3 in the 60s on their big board. Like I love him. So it's like, okay, yeah, for value wise, but it's still like that was shocking to see. What would you say, Devin, being in Kansas City was like the pick that everybody was like, oh my God.
Well, I'll tell you the Jalen Carter pick definitely like deflated the room for sure. Everyone was like, you gotta be kidding me. But the Jahmyr Gibbs pick, everyone was like, wow. Like even the Lions people in there, they were just like, what happened?
I bet.
But I will say that Devin Witherspoon going five was a little bit of a shock too, just because we knew that the NFL really liked him and he was on like the top corner for most teams. But at five, you thought Seattle might, you know, would they go quarterback if Richardson fell? He obviously didn't. You know, would they go edge? Would they go Tyree Wilson? You know, they had Jalen Carter right there and they decided to go Witherspoon. And I think that was like the first, that probably was a domino that fell that people weren't expecting to fall. And then after that, chaos just really ensued after that.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I read the Lions were actually going to be okay with taking Gibbs at six.
They could. I saw that too. Yeah, I saw someone saying that if they couldn't move out that because they loved, I guess they're like number one, like they were all in on Devin. They didn't think that Seattle was going to take him. And I knew that Seattle was in on Devin Witherspoon, that they really, really liked him, but he really doesn't fit any of those Seattle measurements that we look for, those kind of baselines that they've always been mm-hmm. a fan of for the cornerback. So you know that they really just love themselves a baller in Devin Witherspoon. And so I guess the Lions were really just taken aback. They really felt comfortable that he was going to be there. And so, yeah, but I had heard the same thing that they had liked Gibbs enough that if they weren't going to move, they weren't going to, you know, obviously they don't have a need at tackle. They were going to take Jalen Carter. So a lot of those high value positions are kind of like, you know, they took Jameson Williams last year. So you're not necessarily going to, you know, take a, you know, a reach or whatever, but take Jackson Smith and Jigba that high. So crazy, crazy, crazy. And it's weird because like you said with Jack Campbell, like I like both of these players a lot. I've been a Jahmyr Gibbs guy. Campbell's my LB1, right? So it's like part of me is like they came away with two good players that I'm a fan of, but the other part of me is like, oh, it's a running back and a linebacker. So what are we really doing here? But the rest of the class was incredible too. So Brad Holmes cooked.
Yeah, I you can't argue. Brad Holmes has had a couple of good drafts, you know, and if you look mm-hmm. outside the first round, and we're going to get to a Lions pick at some point that we're talking about in this podcast. I have one on my list, but we're going to break down the draft, but we're not going to do it the way that everybody's doing it. You know, everybody's giving draft grades based on consensus. This team got an A-, this team got an F. We're going to break it down by five different categories. So we're going to go scheme fit, the best fit in the draft, where you should give our answer. Best value in the draft, favorite pick of the draft, the best team draft, and the best day three player with the day three player the best chance to contribute right away. So I'm gonna go ahead and start because of two. Best scheme fit. We gotta kick this thing off. So I'm gonna go ahead and say I love Devon Achane in Miami, man. Mm-hmm. That's gonna go off, man. That's crazy. Crazy speed all over the field. He can get wide. He loves outside zone. His contact balance is unreal for how, like, he's not a big dude, but he bounces off tackles pretty well. And if you look at that, like, Raheem Mostert, like, Jeff Wilson, like, your typical McDaniel backs from San mm-hmm. Francisco, like, fits right in, and he's, like, 5, 6 years, 7 years younger than these guys. Like, I love it. I think Devon Achane's going to eat in Miami.
Yeah, did you see the between him and Mike McDaniels?
Yeah, you're still fast. Right?
Yeah, he's like, you're still fast, right?
I love it.
Yeah, I love
Achane there. Yeah, let's bounce to Matt.
My favorite one kind of – I was pretty sure this was going to happen prior to the draft with all the smoke of Will Levis going. Anthony Richardson of the Colts, specifically Richardson with Shane Steichen, the kind of quarterback where, you know, this was my dream place for him. Just in the idea, like, obviously I wish a little bit more weapons. I wish the offensive line was there as you would for, you know, any rookie quarterback. But specifically a guy in Steichen who's, you know, one of the more innovative offensive minds in the NFL. Him with Herbert in his year become one of the more dynamic passers. Then he went to Philly, helped with that Hurts development, became one, you know, a legitimate starting star quarterback in the NFL. How willing he is to those legs, you know, those inverted veers coming back with the Jonathan Tate. Like, it's going to be really, really exciting. I'm really, you know, they're talking about Richardson being that day one starter potentially because, you know, Gardner Minshew is Gardner Minshew. And I think because of that rushing floor with that Steichen offense, like, you really do have a chance for it to be, you know, a productive offense come day one just off of the legs of Richardson with whatever lumps you have to take as a passer.
Devin?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with the Colts. We'll go to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with Julius Brents getting Gus Bradley's defense. I think that's uh-huh. just a ready-made fit for what they like to do. He's going to be in receivers' faces. He's going to make some plays in zone. get a chance to use his length as well. Thought he was going to go a little bit higher in the second round, but you could tell the Colts were enamored with him. They brought him in for, you know, the local team day, him being from Indianapolis. So as soon as they made that pick, I was like, yeah, I love this draft already. Obviously they got Richardson at the top, and then you get Brents. They made sure to get those athletic specimens at nearly every position, and I really think they, in the future, is bright in Indianapolis. And I'm excited to see not only Richardson, but what Brents is able to do, and you know, how he's able to defend, especially in that division particularly. So I'm excited for his future and his fit in the Colts scheme.
I legitimately thought that Brents had a chance to sneak in the back of the first round. He went, you know, in the 30s. So, like, he very well could have. Like, his tape is pretty staggeringly good. I think he panics a little bit in off man. Like, his feet get a little frantic when people crowd a space. But, like, that dude's real fluid for 6'2". Like, that is a Gus Bradley dude. So, yeah.
And it's
I
like
thought
one
about
was
that.
Chris Ballard.
Oh, yeah. This entire draft was like, yeah, that's Chris Ballard. Yeah, that's Chris Ballard. It was fun.
Yeah, no, 100%. You see, Kent Mathbomb tweeted the Raz rankings for all of the like what each team did and how all of their prospects compare. And I don't think Ballard drafted anyone under like an 8-9.
I love it. The Browns are kind of the same way. Although they went Siakika in the third round, so that's, you know, below three. But I love all those answers. Brents is a great one. Yeah. So many good scheme fits. Next one, best value. I won't start here, and my pick's a little bit of a homer pick, but best value. Let's go ahead.
Gut instinct, I know what your pick is.
Yeah, you probably do.
I did write it as my honorable for sure.
Okay, yeah, let's go best value. Matt, kick it off.
So mine is going to be in the first round just because I think the Seahawks getting my number one pass catcher in Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 20th overall, not having to move anywhere, just being really kind of complete that offense. I know a lot of us talked about, do you go quarterback at five to kind of just prepare yourself for the future? Obviously, with Richardson off the board and the other two guys going one and two, that Seahawks were, you know, very committed to the, well, we're just going to be a really, really good football team today. And I think, obviously, what they do with Devon Witherspoon at the five, but being in Jaxon Smith-Njigba to really round out this receiving core and Seattle, give Geno Smith a ton of weapons. He was already one of the more accurate and effective or efficient passers in the league last year, just giving him a ton of weapons who can make plays with the ball in his hands. Really, really like the fact that Jaxon Smith-Njigba was able to go here off this wide receiver run that we saw right after it. I think the Seahawks really, really draft smart, and specifically this, I think is going to bring a lot of value to the offense. And then I also just want to mention Kayshon Boutte ending up in New England. Probably might, you know, might be the most talented receiver on that team right now. And so I think, you know, a lot of the stuff was like, I understand why he got drafted where he did. It doesn't shock me. I'm not surprised, but would love to see Bill kind of get his head straight, get everything going. And, you know, you get one of the more talented pass catchers in the draft class in the sixth round, I think should be a good value for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Boutte, he's a weird one, man. Like,
the good tape is good. That's really what stops me. The good tape is good for anyone in the class to be. This pass, especially with Kelly, is just awful. Just no effort, no care whatsoever. Like, you can tell he just doesn't want to be there, and that's a problem. But when he's performing, when he, you know, wants to be making plays, I stack it up with anyone in the class just in terms of that, like, you know, stretch of that 2020 into early 2021 of, like, 7-8 games where I think he was one of the better receivers in the SEC.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that New England wide receiver room is not pretty. It's not pretty. Not pretty at all. Devin, best. Yeah. Yes. And best value for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a team with sneaky damn good draft. And that's the Steelers and Darnell Washington at 93. Look, I know with Washington, you know, people will kind of, I think, overvalue him certainly in the draft process. But when you look at where they were able to get him, able to pair him with Freiermuth, really run the 12 personnel and have another weapon, especially over the middle of the field, and what Pittsburgh is able to put around Kenny Pickett now, I'm very intrigued. I'm intrigued to see kind of how they use him, how to utilize him, how he plays off of Freiermuth. He's going to give him another really good run blocker as well as a tight end. So I think Washington for me was a really good value. Had him just outside my top 50. Figure he may go day two. I didn't think he was going to be a late day two pick, but I really like the value and what he brings to the table for Pittsburgh. So he's one of the best value picks for me on day two of the draft for sure.
Yeah, they said that.
Value picks.
Oh my God, yeah, it's unreal. they said that he had some, like, it was his knee, right? His knee got flagged at the combine. So that's why he's, you know, a guy that people were mocking in the first round fell to 98th overall. But yeah, that Steelers draft is just insane. For me, again, I said I was going to be a little bit of a homer here. Best value pick for me, man, is Luke Whipler to the Browns.
Crazy
value. Again, when I evaluated Luke Whipler, I put a third round grade. Like, I thought he was going to go top three rounds, comp pick range minimum, early fourth. But the Browns get him at pick 190. And then when you think about it, like, both of their backup centers suffered season-ending injuries a year ago. They re-signed Ethan Posick, but he has been historically bad. Last year might be an outlier. They gave him a three-year deal, but there's some safeguards in his contract. They can get out of it after this year for $6 million of dead cap if they want to. Like, they safeguarded it if, you know, his play does kind of return to where it's been historically. And that, you know, we talked about fit just starting the last category ago, but, like, Whipler's game is getting wide. Browns love outside him like that. It doesn't get a better scheme fit.
Gets two spots as well as anybody.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, like, top to bottom, like, I went through it, like, his production, you know, his pressure rate allowed is real low. Even if he's not the strongest man in the world. Like, he doesn't move people off the ball, but I think he's good leverage I think he jump sets as well as anybody. And because he's kind of got a low center of gravity, I think he's got a really strong anchor to kind of weight effectively. So, from top to bottom, product, scheme fit, value, like, the Browns attacked value. They said, we don't care about position value right now. We want value. And
give me BB, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Landing Whipler 90 is just unreal.
Yeah. I wrote, like, prepping for this episode, I would feel just as good starting Luke Whipler on day one as I would Joe Tippmann, who went like 150 picks earlier. I feel some type of way about tall centers anyways, where I don't necessarily feel great about their ability to leverage and anchor at the next. And so Tippmann does have that kind of red flag for me going on, and we'll see how that works for him at the next level. Obviously, he can generate a bunch of power, but it's really the risking it that the taller guys kind of worry for. Whipler, I mean, intelligent pass protector, right? Like, I really think I would not be surprised if he just ended up starting like 15, 14 games for the Browns this year.
CJ Stroud's called him the smartest dude he's ever been around. So, like, and again, that's his teammate. He's not going to say
anything about him. And if the S2 test is any, you know, CJ Stroud doesn't know who's smart and who's not.
And I could have gone Dwan Jones here too. Like, Dwan Jones in the fourth round. I mean, there's obvious reasons Dwan Jones dropped into the fourth round. There are obvious work ethic concerns. There are his decision not to weigh in at the play is a massive red flag. Like, come on, man.
I remember like the scene when we heard about the Senior Bowl and like he left and we were like, oh, that's like hard. Like, that's cool. You know, that's
and they tracked him down at the airport.
It was all completely downhill from there.
Yeah. And then like, Devin and I were at one of the restaurants in Indy the night before offensive line media day, and Dwan was there till like midnight, 12:30 at night, just like hanging out. Like, so there's some things, but I mean that guy's got second round tape.
Yeah, the movement skills for the size is incredible, and I don't love massive mountains because I think their swing as a tackle is limited, but I also think their floor is raised by how big they are, and so I do think, like, you know, 80% of him wanting to be there is really all you have to get to for him to be an effective start in the NFL. Anything above them, you've got a guy who's probably going to get you like multiple, like starter level reps for 8 to 9, 10 year career.
Mm-hmm. And the Browns have three tackles under contract for the next 2 years. So, like, he's not in any hurry. Mm-hmm. And the dead cap for day three picks is like nothing. If it doesn't work out, all right, see ya. On to the next.
That's why they're so cool with the fourth.
Exactly. They did it with Perrion Winfrey last year. Hasn't worked out. It might not work out. So it just is what it is. But moving on to favorite pick, and I'm going to like break the desk at this because when Devin and I
recorded, table.
Yes, because when Devin and I recorded our safety podcast,
I already knew where this is going.
I was vocal about my love for Brian Branch. And And for that man to drop to the 40th overall
Crazy
pick, I get that
insanity.
he played exclusively nickel because Alabama had some senior things, the two senior safeties, blah, blah, blah. He didn't test that great. The dude's a freaking football player.
Knows where to be. Always
knows
where
where to
he's
be.
Supposed to be.
Instinctual as hell. And he will hit, man. He is a hitter. He's a complete Detroit Lion. Like,
oh, yeah. No question.
Campbell, complete Detroit Lion. Branch,
I
complete
cannot.
Detroit
Sam
Lion.
Laporta.
Like, Sam Laporta, complete Detroit
Yeah,
Lion.
no,
Like,
they stuck to their guns.
yeah. Like,
I
they.
cannot believe they got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Brian Branch in the same secondary. That's scary.
And they gave Chauncey just the 1 year deal. So it's a real smooth, like, you know, 8 million for this year, show everyone how to run the. And that's what, like, it was their second this year was like, you know, they brought in the, like, I really do like what the Lions have done defensively, just to put the kind of guys, like, they didn't draft any superstars, but they drafted nothing but good football players. Nothing but good football players. And Brian Branch is absolutely there. They moved up to go get him too. So yeah, no, I definitely can understand that.
Made no sense to me. And I figured he wasn't gonna go first round because people weren't gonna value, like, oh, he's a nickel, blah,
Explosive
blah, blah, blah,
DBs.
blah.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, whatever. But that dude's trigger was ex like on that dude's explosive. I don't care. So that's mine. Brian Branch of Detroit. Devin, go ahead, man. I'm worked
Yeah,
up.
I'm gonna go Marte Mapu from Sacramento State going to the Patriots. I just love his game. I didn't even think he was gonna get into day two. I thought he was gonna be like a early to mid day three pick. But I like his skill set. I think he's gonna fit beautifully in the Patriots defense if they want to deploy him at linebacker. If they want to deploy him at safety because he has that versatility. I think they're gonna had some fun moving him around in the second and third levels of the defense. Love his instincts, his ability to be in zone coverage. I think he still needs to improve his coverage profile a little bit and just be a little bit more consistent. But I think the skill set is there, and they've had these types of players before. They got Kyle Duggar on the roster right now,
Sir.
so they know how to use him. They know how to deploy him, and I'm excited to see how they deploy him, when they deploy him. And that third down package is going to be real interesting in New England next year, being able to move around all those guys in the linebacker and safety room.
I was just about to say the Patriots love those small school tweeners.
Small school
Duggar
anybody,
and
to be honest.
that's true. That's true. That's a good one. It will be interesting to see because he played so much overhang. Like that almost all he did at Sacramento State was slot overhang. So it will be interesting
Like
to hear
the
how,
almost.
yeah. So I'm interested to see how he's deployed at the next level. What about you? Favorite pick?
The second pick off of the board, Houston Texans taking C. Stroud, just because with all of the talk about taking the defender at two, whether it's Tyree Wilson or Henderson, like the Tyree stuff was crazy. The Will Anderson stuff is like, it's
Okay.
crazy. It's like, all right, that dude's awesome. Like, I get it. But like, you cannot have that pick and not take a quarterback, especially in a class like this. You can't play the we'll do it next year game. You just can't. You set your franchise back. There's no guarantee you'll be there. And I don't even hate them for trading up for Will Anderson after taking CJ Stroud. I think you've got, you know, they've built up that offensive line. They added pass catchers in free agency this year. They added pass catchers to the second half of their depth chart in the later rounds of the draft this year. But just taking that quarterback, that guy who's going to be the face of your franchise. Stroud was my number one quarterback. I think you know, kind of the consensus QB2 behind Young. I just think with everything that was going on throughout the whole draft process surrounding Stroud, for him to like wake up on Thursday and all of a sudden he's like plus or minus 2,000 odds to be the second overall pick. It's like this is how it should have happened. This is how it always was going to happen. And I'm just glad that the Texans didn't screw themselves for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. Like, I was thinking back to how we talked about quarterbacks last spring. Like, the discourse was, oh, yeah, it's young Stroud. Richardson's pretty freaking good if, you
Crazy,
know, he
but
finds the
like,
right scheme. Levis is cool too.
is
Burrow is
Rattler
gonna learn
coming
things.
back? Like,
Right. And then we had like
it
full year of like chalkboard scratching QB discourse, just like, oh my goodness, horrid chalkboard scratching
Will
discourse.
Levis.
Well, and then like we get to the draft and it's like, oh yeah, it's young Stroud. It's good if he finds the right scheme. Levis, okay, we'll see what happens there. Like it came full circle from
Yeah,
where we started to where we end.
And I feel like it does all the time. I'm sure at some point next year we'll be talking about why Caleb Williams is going to be the third quarterback off the board, and then we get to day one and it takes the, whatever team's picking first overall half a minute to put the card in. It's
Exactly.
Always the same.
To talk about our favorite class overall. So not the minus B minus this thing, but just one class to rule them all. And Devin, let's go ahead and start with you. Who what class did you think just knocked it out of the park from the first round, last round, all the way through?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the team I mentioned earlier. Pittsburgh Steelers knocked out of the park, man. You knew they wanted to tackle. They obviously got Broderick. But, I mean, you get Joey Porter at the start of round two. You don't even have to spend a first-round pick on him. And then you go down the board. Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, Nick Erbig, Corey Trice Jr., in the seventh round. I mean, those are guys that can all be starting within 2-3 years, you know, for the Steelers. And I really think not only did they get value out of most of those guys, especially, you know, the picks, you know, with Washington, then you look at Erbig and Corey Trice. Those three picks right there, to me, are three of the best value picks by a single team in the draft. So I thought they knocked it out of the park. You're getting guys that, you know, you can take some time to develop. They double dip in the corner class, which was extremely good. Corey Trice probably should have gone fourth, fifth round, but he ended up in the seventh round. I really have no other words to say. I think they have one of the best, if not the best, drafts in the NFL.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they have the best class too. I'll talk about another team too, but the one thing that Pittsburgh really, really well too is it wasn't just like getting all these guys we all love. All of these dudes are such Steeler fits. First of all, Broderick Jones, I mean, you guys know this was my number one tackle, a guy who I think really does have that upside to be an elite guy. Something that the Steelers haven't had an elite guy playing tackle for a while. And so I think that's going to be huge. But then the Joey Porter, Corey Trice is the same way, like long, athletic cornerback who can disrupt pass lanes and get into like wide receivers, make them uncomfortable. He has a ton of tape, really, really good. And really the only reason he made it to that seventh is a medical thing. Erbig, obviously, they love themselves an undersized pass rushing outside linebacker. That was kind of where I was worried. I was like, yo, you know, what teams even play like a 3-4 to the point anymore where you have a guy kind of be like a outside linebacker pass rush specialist? And this is that team that's always done it. This is the team that will continue to do it. You know, TJ Watt needs a break every once in a while. Getting him a couple, you know, getting him on the field, it's going to be really, really interesting, and I like that a lot for them. And I see Darnell and Pat Freiermuth, probably the best block tight end duo in the league already, and so really, really excited.
Yeah, I mean, cats out of the bag were mine too, so I think we're all aligned there.
All right, so you Pittsburgh Steelers, you knocked it out of the park. But then, all right, since we all had the season, I do want to mention the Arizona Cardinals had a masterclass moving up and down the board. On top of ages, getting, you know, they were going to take Christian Johnson Jr. at 3, right? Like, that was kind of obvious. We all knew this. So to move back, get back up to 6 and net a first and a 2 next year, still get your guy, insane. I know we all love B.J. Ojulari. Mm-hmm. Really, really awesome. I really, really glad they just needed talent on their roster, and they just added talent. Garrett Williams, a guy who's not going to be there in the third if he doesn't get hurt. I like Michael Wilson just to be a pass catcher for them. John Gaines is a guy who can get onto that offensive line at some point, you know, maybe bulk up just a little bit. I like Clark and Stills both in the sixth spot as, you know, guys who have, team sucks. Like, this roster is terrible. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of these guys are going to see playing time pretty early. And even Clay Tune kind of is like a really fun Kyler Murray backup. So I really do. I was cool with all of this. Everything the Cardinals did, I think, was phenomenal. In terms of the value they got, I think they compete with Pittsburgh if you're about including that first and second round pick that they got next year as well. You know, maybe on the exact same level in terms of just talent, but if you're really weighing what they got of both of the classes in totality, I think the Cardinals are right there.
Yeah, I think it's important to like remember that they don't have a quarterback like all season. They're going to be awful,
terrible,
and for them to stop assets the way they did and still get talent this year, it was unreal. Just an unreal job of navigating the board. Again, Keetrell Clark's a dog. Like, man, that might be your pickle in the sixth round. Like,
that's my dog. Yes, I love Keetrell Clark. Like, I really do. That was the big one. I think Dante Stills can push the pocket of the NFL, but absolutely. Like, they got It's layers. They got dudes who can start on their team early, often, in all levels of this draft.
Yeah, just unreal. And
Yeah,
Clatoon, like,
I'll
go
add
ahead, Devin.
to another draft that I really liked as well was Atlanta's because of the boldness. Because like you think about what they've done the last couple of years, they got Kyle Pitts a couple of years ago. They went out, got Drake London last year, and now you go get Bijan. I mean, they want to build a explosive offense, and they're not afraid to do it. But I also like their picks on day two and early day three. Bergeron, I think, is going to be a nice fit for what they do. And I really like what he brings to the table. Zach Harrison is going to be an interesting fit. They've thrown a lot of resources to the edge position and getting better pass rush. So I'm interested to see kind of how he fits and how they kind of deploy him. And then Clark Phillips in the fourth round. I mean, everyone kind of knew he was going to fall a little bit because of the size, but now you have Okuda, Terrell, and Clark Phillips all in the same,
And Jesse Bates.
Jesse Bates as well. So I mean, that getting him in the fourth round and adding to an already impressive secondary, I love it. I think Atlanta had a pretty solid draft, and I just wanted to bring him up as well.
Yep.
Yeah, they drafted good football players. Like, that was Atlanta's. Like, regardless of what you thought about where they targeted, there's all of these guys ball. They just play football.
Yeah, and it turns out Bergeron, with that video for the Cowboys came out today, Bergeron almost went in the first round.
Yeah, would have
Like,
been the I saw that.
almost went to the
Everyone thought it
Cowboys
was Avila.
six. Yeah. I mean, I like Matthew Bergeron too. His foot speed, his
Love
strength is
him.
tremendous. Like, I think he has a little hitch in his set right off the snap, but like, that's really easily fixable. So, but again, his grip strength and anchors, like, if you want to play, like, the Cowboys were talking about him as a guard, I would assume
I
probably.
like the movement skills of the tackle. We'll see, but
I do
I've
too.
maintained that I think he can project as a tackle in the NFL.
I
Like I
think he
like,
can too.
yeah, I think his like hitch and his like Anton Harrison's problems at the point of attack concern me more at the next level. So I was cool with, obviously Harrison was kind of that de facto OT5 off the board that everyone was kind of expecting. But yeah, I had Bergeron with him.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And speaking of the Falcons, which just brought up, Tyler Allgeier rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Tariq Woolen for the Seahawks came in and lit it up right away as a rookie. There are always A3 picks that come in and just produce that you see, but that it happens every once in a while. So that's where we're going to go next. Who one player day three pick that you think can just come in, produce? Matt, we'll start with you.
Well, I'll start. If I'm ever going to do one thing, it's going to push my narrative. And that's why would you draft? Obviously, real quick, like Devin said, Bijan's such a great dude. He really is so smart. Like everything about his is awesome. I felt really, really bad. Like I felt like I almost picked on him in a sense in the cycle where like people thought I hated him. I didn't. Dude's a phenomenal football player. I'm just not on the vibe drafting running backs that high. That's just my personal thought process on roster building. Talent evaluation and player or in positional value. And so, why would I draft at 8 when I could draft Roschon at 115? And he could be one of the, potentially rookie leading rushers. I think it's a real easy chance for him to go be that number one back in Chicago this year. I mean, I think he's the Dane Pierce, the Tyler Allgeier that we expect. Running back's the easiest one for me to be all like, that's a dude who can, rock the tote and has an opportunity to be a starter. That's an easy 900-yard player that you got in round 4. And I'm a huge fan of that, so I'm taking Roschon.
I promise Matt and I didn't speak before this, but like Roschon's, well, again, if you look at that depth chart, Deontay Foreman had a good year for the Panthers last year, but like Deontay Foreman's an ordinary back. And then other than that, it's Khalil Herbert. Like, those are the two dudes ahead of him. That's it. And Khalil Herbert's been good. Like, he's good for them when they needed to call on him, but like, those are just a dime a dozen running backs. And Roschon's fresh. Again, his carries are so low,
Yeah,
but
I
if
was going
you
to say,
look at his,
Deontay had more at Texas than Roschon did.
yeah, if you look at Roschon's freaking forced missed tackles this past year at Texas, like, he was on pace to have the nation by a long shot, but he had like 95 carries.
Did he share with me?
So
Right. So
like,
that's no, I, this is a dude. What didn't we all have him RB3 or, so yeah, I was
I
going
had
to
him
say, I,
four.
gotcha. Yeah. So what, do you have
I had
Kendre above him
A-Chain.
or? Oh
A-Chain.
yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But yes, exactly. A guy who we all thought was a top five running back in the class, you're getting on. And the only reason, literally the only reason he's making it this far is because he played behind Bijan. He didn't have that film as a every single down, we're gonna, rock the, be the offense. And so I do think that, especially in Chicago, where you have to worry about what Fields is going to do with his legs and all the pass catchers that they added, I definitely think Roshan's going to outproduce his draft spot by a lot.
And he's gonna find the, because that's a dude who is like a coach dream. He's gonna ask him. He's recruited as a quarterback, said, "Hey, we need you back." And he said, "Okay."
Let
Like,
me do it.
right. Like he's just a coach's dream. So he's gonna find the field.
And he missed
He
QB4. There's value in that. Logan
boom.
Thomas.
I love it. Devin, what about you? Day three player with day one contribution.
Yeah, I'm gonna go someone a little bit off of the path. I'm gonna go with Shamari Connor from Virginia Tech for the Chiefs. The Chiefs always find day three DBs that when the time is comes time for the playoffs, they're making plays and have the confidence. I like Connor because I think he can be kind of that big nickel for them, especially if they wanna kind of go matchup dependent with tight ends. And I think you can throw his body out there, and then I think he's also gonna make a huge contribution on special teams and be kind of that extra special teams player that makes those kind of game changing plays. So I'm gonna go Shamari Connor. I think, he was someone I really liked over the summer. Really liked his tape. He shut down Zach Kuntz, who had a lot of fans on draft Twitter earlier in the year, completely erased him. So I think he can be a potential tight end eraser, and I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the season if they sub package him and have him on the field in big moments of the game.
And
All
Kansas City
right.
always has luck with DBs from the state of Virginia.
Yeah. They do that, man. Like Jaylen Wong from Washington State, Josh Williams. Josh Williams was my guy. I love
Legarius
Josh
Sneed.
Williams. Le'Veon Sneed. Brian Cook was a day two pick, but he found the field, was produced down the stretch. They
Obviously,
just do it.
Juan. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Love it. All right. So that was just a little more creative of a way to break down the draft rather than the standard, oh, this team gets an A. So I hope that you found that a little more entertaining. Again, we're happy to have Matt on the show. He'll be with us for the long run. We'll work out what our schedule is going to be moving forward, but we're back after a little 2 week break, just rest and recovering leading up to the draft. And now we have some stuff to talk about, and I'm sure, it'll be a little bit slow as we again continue to rest and recover before we hit 2024 super, super hard, but we're back. Dapped on Draft podcast is here, and now we have three voices, and so that's super exciting as we continue to grow. I'm Corey, Devin, Matt. What do you guys got?
Excited for 2024. Oh, blue for shining no matter what.
That's my
I think
guy.
that's the best way to put it, because we're all Fashano fans on this draft podcast. So you're gonna hear a lot about him over the summer and leading into next season. So I have no disagreements there.
I will forever regret not having him as a top five tackle based off of one start in summer thing last year. Like,
Yeah,
I
and I remember,
so
bro, you
badly
brought
was
it up.
like,
I'll never
dude,
forget
this
in the
guy's
group chat.
good.
You were like, yo, this dude played like 25 snaps and he was crazy. And I was like, psh. And then next thing you know, he's literally the best tackle in the country.
That one bowl game where
Yeah.
Rashid Green or Rashid Walker was hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like,
And I
dude,
like
this guy's
Walker too.
good.
So, yeah. And yeah, Jeff Okuda did the same thing in the Rose Bowl.
Love it. But that's what I'm excited for, man. I love these like the early parts of summer
Yeah.
scouting where it's like, oh, that guy's good. Nobody's talking about that, but that guy's
Nobody
good.
knows him. Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah. So I'm looking
Remember
forward to that.
the name Tonka Hemingway from South Carolina.
He almost transferred. He almost transferred, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
I thought he did.
It was
Yeah,
the
I
dude
like
from
Hemingway.
Bama, Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid McKinstry? Yeah.
Yes. I'm hyped. 2024 is
Yeah.
already better.
All right, if we're taking shots, I'm going to take a shot here too. He's from Kent State, transferred to North Carolina. Freaking ate up Georgia. Ate up Georgia when Kent State played Georgia. Wide receiver DeVontez Walker, man. Keep an eye on him. We've got Drake
Messy.
May. Not a lot of
No,
talent at wide receiver at North Carolina. Like, that dude has
replacing Josh
opportunity.
Downs like that's
Yeah.
exciting.
And he's tall, man. He's long and he can just stride out.
This
He has speed. Ooh.
wide receiver class coming out is a lot bigger than the one we just
Oh my
had.
God, yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to end the show. Calling our shots right away. So 2024, keep it up. We'll be here. We'll do again top five breakdowns as we get throughout the summer, as we get these names dropped. But For now, I'm Corey with Devin and Matt, and this is the Thoughts on Draft podcast.